Now I want to read with you from the book of Revelation, chapter 2, and we're reading from verse number 8 through to 11. Some weeks ago, when I was last here, we looked at the first 7 verses of chapter 2, the church at Ephesus. I want to look at the church at Smyrna this morning, but that doesn't mean that we're going to look at all 7 churches. We're not. It's just that as I was reading down those opening verses, I read on and read about this church at Smyrna, and I feel led just to look at it this morning. So we're at 2nd chapter of Revelation and verse number 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, "These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and thy tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." Remember that John has been commanded by the Lord to write to the 7 churches which are in Asia Minor. We find that in chapter 1, verse 11, when the Lord told him about these 7 churches, he names them here, and he told John to write to these 7 churches a message from him. The master was in the midst of the churches, and that's where he is, in the midst of his people. And he's speaking to each of these churches through John's message. My, the last time we looked at this was when we looked at the church at Ephesus. And you remember the Lord had many things to commend them for when he sent this message to the church at Ephesus. He says, "Thou hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted." And then after he commended them for all the things that he saw which were good and were pleasing to him, he says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Thou hast left thy first love." And what he was saying was, "You don't love me now the way you used to love me when you first came to know me. You've lost that first love." And what the Lord was saying to the church at Ephesus was, "I want your love. I want your love before anything else. And I want the best of your love, not the second best, the best of your love." And that should challenge all our hearts this morning. Are we giving to Christ our best, the best of our love? Or have we lost that first love? And then we come to the Lord speaking to the church at Smyrna. And you'll remember we pointed out that we can view these churches in Asia Minor literally. They were literal, actual churches. They were local churches. And we can look at them historically. Some of the commentators point out that each church fits into a particular period in church history, from Pentecost to the present day. And this church, it believes, fits into that period from the second century of Constantine the Great, when the church of Jesus Christ was persecuted with severe persecution from the heathen emperors of Rome. They were known as the Caesars. Nero probably was the most famous of them. And of course, there was Augustus, who was the emperor when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, and there was Domitian, and he was followed by Dioclesian. And these were Roman Caesars, and they were responsible at that particular period for many deaths, many thousands of Christians. And it's appropriate that Smyrna, this little church situated away out there, should fit into that period, because it's in this church it was faithful in the midst of great suffering. Now I just want to say a few words about Smyrna this morning. The first thing I want to consider is the meaning of the name. Smyrna was situated off the western coast of Asia Minor. At present, its name is Izmir, and it's noted for its licorice roots. It's the third largest city in Turkey and a major international trading center. The name Smyrna comes from the word myrrh, and myrrh is frequently used in scripture in connection with the embalming of the dead. It had to be crushed to give out that fragrance. And when the church suffers most, that's when it gives out its best fragrance. So the name of this church, it speaks of the bitterness of suffering. I'm sure that some of you here this morning will remember when Pol Pot ruled in Cambodia. And the BBC did a documentary quite a number of years ago about Pol Pot's reign in Cambodia. And they were brought into a place where there were shells from the floor right up to the ceiling, and they were full of human skulls. My, thousands of skulls that had been killed, people who had been killed in the period when Pol Pot reigned. In the Middle Ages, Timur so zealously persecuted the Christians here at Smyrna that he had 1,000 skulls in a tower which was built. So Smyrna was a church which experienced suffering because of their faith. And you know, as we look around the world today, we can see gradually more and more Christians in more and more countries suffering because of their faith. But we find that here at Smyrna, this church that endured great suffering, the Lord knew all about what was happening in Smyrna. He says, I know thy works. That's the first thing he says to them. And we pointed out in the last message that the thing that the Lord says to each of these churches, he has different things to say to all of them, but to each one of them he says, I know thy works. He knows all that was happening. He knows all that's happening. He was aware of the activity. The Lord knows what's happening in Smyrna and in Pergamos and in Thyatira, and you can bring that to the modern present day. He knows what's happening in the church at Lisburn, in the church at Mara, in the church at Lurgan, and we could go on right through the province. The Lord knows all about it. Dear friends, the Lord knows everything that's going on. Sometimes we think we can hide things. Sometimes we think that we can cover things over which we would rather people wouldn't know was going on. But remember this, the Lord says, I know. He was aware of their activity. And he was aware of their adversity. He says, I know thy works and tribulation. He knew what they were going through. The people of this church were being persecuted because of their faith in Christ, and the Lord knew what they were going through. And dear child of God, this morning, the Lord knows what you're going through. Maybe you're here this morning and you're going through a difficult time. Maybe a difficult time with your health, or a difficult time maybe in your business life, or a difficult time in your family. And you feel that nobody understands and nobody knows and nobody cares. Let me tell you this. Whatever you're going through this morning, the Lord knows. Your heavenly Father knoweth all that's going on in each of our lives, and he knows what's going on in all of our churches. So he was aware of their activity, and he was aware of their adversity. And he says, I know thy works of tribulation and poverty. He was aware of their poverty. And then there's a little phrase here in brackets, but thou art rich. He says, you know, you may have poverty in many other ways, but thou art rich. What a contrast between the church at Smyrna and the church at Laodicea. Smyrna was poor materially, but rich spiritually. Whereas Laodicea was rich materially, but poor spiritually. Which of the two churches would you like to belong to? Would you like to belong to Laodicea and be rich materially, but poor spiritually, or to Smyrna and being rich spiritually? It's great to be rich spiritually, to be rich in love for one another, to be rich in fellowship, to know the presence of the Lord. That makes us rich. To know the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit amongst us, that makes us rich. To be rich in faith, to be rich in worship, to be rich in zeal. These people were suffering, for their faith and going through a hard time, but they were rich. They were rich spiritually. And he was aware of their blasphemy. Blasphemy means to slander and speak against, and these Jews were hostile to Christianity, and they were stirring up opposition against this little church, and he was aware of their subtlety, but are of the synagogue of Satan. The devil was behind it all. The devil was using these Jews to cause problems in the church at Smyrna. So we see here the meaning of the name. And then we see the ministry of the Lord, because the Lord seeks to minister to this suffering church. And he ministers to them by seeking to encourage them. He says here, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. He's encouraging these suffering saints. You know, friends, I believe that many people today, Christian people, believers, you know, the thing they need is encouragement. Encouragement. Yes, young people need encouragement. Middle-aged people need encouragement. Old people need encouragement. We all need encouragement. There's so many things to discourage us. Remember, the two went down the road to Emmaus and they were discouraged. And Jesus drew near and went with them. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. When you see someone who's going through a difficult time, a hard time, I wonder, do you seek to encourage them? Encourage them. And he encouraged them. He says, I am the first. He was the director of his people. And the last, he was the protector of his people, which was dead and is alive. He not only encourages these suffering saints, he explains to them in verse 10. He says, fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation for 10 days. That just means that this tribulation, these trials, this persecution they're going through, it wasn't going to last forever. It was for a limited period. A limited period. The Lord is sovereign even in suffering. And we find he exhorts these suffering saints. He says, fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, and ye shall be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. And that's the message to this church. What is the Lord saying to the churches? Well, to Ephesus, he says, I want you to love me. To Smyrna, he says, I want you to be faithful to me. And that's the message of the Lord to the church. This is what God is saying to the church. It's what God is saying not only to Smyrna, but to the church of Jesus Christ. God is looking for us to be faithful unto death. When he talked here about faithful unto death, it meant that their suffering might inevitably mean that they would have to die for their faith. And he says, I want you to be faithful to that day. But you know, friends, this morning, let me say this. God wants us to be faithful to the day we die. No matter when we die or how we die, God is saying to you and me this morning, be thou faithful. He's not saying, be thou successful. He's not saying, be popular. He's not saying, make sure you make progress. He's just simply saying, I want your faithfulness. I want you to be faithful to me. You know, we live in days when the in thing is to go with the crowd, to go with the flow, to listen to the voice of public opinion. God is looking for faithfulness from his people. And he's saying to you this morning, be thou faithful to the day you die. Faithful to the Savior. Faithful to the Savior. Wonder, friends, are we faithful to the Savior who was faithful to us? You know, we stand at the front and take our marriage vows, and we pledge ourselves one to another until death us do part. And God wants that kind of faithfulness. Whether in sickness and health, rich or poor, we pledge that we'll be faithful, the husband to the wife and the wife to her husband. And God wants us to be faithful to him, to be faithful to the day we die. We're not to forsake him for anyone or anything else. Stories told of the coolie dog, and its master died. And after he was buried in the churchyard, every day the coolie dog arrived at the graveside and lay there a good part of the day for the next 8 years until it died. Dear friends, Stephen was faithful unto death. The Lord wants us to be faithful in the midst of this generation in which we find ourselves, this godless generation, this day and age when Christianity is being attacked from so many different angles. Faithful to the Savior. Faithful to the Savior who loved us and gave himself for us. Faithful to the one who died for us and shed his blood at Calvary. Faithful to the one who'll take us home to glory one day. Faithful to the Savior. Be thou faithful. That's what God is saying to his people today. Be thou faithful to the Savior. Faithful to the Scriptures. The Bible is the Word of God. It's the only and final authority in the life of the believer. It's the final and only authority in the life of the church. We bow to the Scriptures. We acknowledge them as God's Word. And doing so, we need to be faithful in the interpretation of the Scriptures. My Paul said to young Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In this Bible that you and I hold and have today, every chapter, every text, every passage has one true interpretation. We're to be faithful in the interpretation of the Scriptures. We're not, my dear friends, to twist the Word of God to suit our own selves. We're not to twist it to try to make it mean something. It doesn't mean man were to be faithful in the interpretation of the scriptures. I was preaching somewhere recently and a man said to me at the door, "Thank you for rightly dividing the word of truth." Faithful in the interpretation of the scriptures. Faithful in the application of the scriptures. We must apply the word of God to our own lives. Yes, it's easy to apply to the lives of other people, to those that sit beside us in the pew or in front of us or behind us. But we're to apply the word to ourselves. Applying the word means obeying the word. Means seeking to live by the word. My, I wonder, are we seeking to apply the word and obey the word? My, in the waters of baptism, at the Lord's table, in our everyday lives, we need to be faithful in our interpretation of the scriptures and faithful in our application of the scriptures, and we need to be faithful in the proclamation of the scriptures. The Apostle Paul, when he spoke to the elders at Ephesus and got them together in Acts of the Apostles chapter 20, Paul said to them, "I have not shunned to preach or to proclaim unto you the whole counsel of God." He was faithful in proclaiming the word of God. And God wants us to be faithful in proclaiming the word of God, faithful to the gospel, faithful in the interpretation of his word. Dear friends, we need to faithfully proclaim the word. He says, preach the word in season, out of season. Yes, dear friends, faithful to the Savior, faithful to the scriptures, and we need to be faithful in our service. Remember the story that Jesus told about the talents? Master, the Lord was leaving and he gave to one of his servants 5 talents. He gave to another man 2 talents and he gave to another servant 1 talent. And while he was away, the man that had the 5 talents put the talents to use and he gained another 5. The other man that had 2 talents, he put his talents to use and he gained another 2. The man that had 1 talent, he buried his talent. He didn't use his talent that the master had given to him. He just left it on the ground. He didn't use it at all. When the master came back, he said to those that had used their talents, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Dear brethren and sisters, this morning, God has given to each of us talents. He has given to each of us gifts. I wonder, are we serving the Lord? Are we faithful in our service? Are we a faithful servant of Jesus Christ? Are we putting our talents to use in the life of the church? Or are we just a passenger doing nothing, leaving our talents? Maybe you could contribute in some way. Contribute in the life of the church. Contribute in the running of the church. Contribute to the music of the church. Contribute in so many different ways in the life of the church. That's what it's all about. Every member coming together and functioning in the place that God has put them in. Just like our bodies function. Wonder, will the Lord say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant"? Heard a preacher preaching on one occasion, and he says, "You know, it's great when the Lord says, 'Well done, thy good and faithful servant.' But he'll only say that to those who have been good and faithful. If you haven't been faithful, if you've buried your talent on the ground, the Lord will not say when you enter in, 'Well done, thy good and faithful servant.'" Dear friends, are you shining faithfully? Are we serving faithfully? Are we standing faithfully? There's a reward for faithfulness. Don't read about a reward for success. We don't read about having a reward for popularity, but we do read about having a reward for faithfulness. I will give thee a crown of life. My dear friends, this morning, as we come to the end of our time around the Word of God this morning, Lord is saying, I want you to love me. I want you to give me your first love. I want you to give me the best of your love. And I want you to be faithful even unto death. Be faithful to the day we die. My, how we thank God this morning for his faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. We sing that hymn from time to time that talks about the faithfulness of God to us, his children. Man, we have a God who never leaves us. A God who never lets us down. A God who never fails us. A God who never breaks a promise. He's faithful in so many ways. And he says to you and me this morning, be thou faithful unto death. May we go out of here to be faithful to the Savior, to be faithful, my, in our service, and to be faithful to the Scriptures. Sometimes, friends, to do that, you have to suffer. Sometimes to do that, it costs us. The Lord says, let him that follow me deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You prepared for that this morning, to be faithful unto death. May God speak to us and bless us through his word for his name's sake. Amen.